HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Although 2021 showed a promising start, new variants are leading to renewed COVID-19 waves and lockdowns in many Asian countries. Still, equity markets continue to surge, while in India, markets have been hitting record highs. As stocks consistently make new highs, defying elevated valuations, net inflows into equity mutual fund schemes galloped to record high in July, rising almost 6 times in a month. Net ₹20,743 crore was pumped into equity schemes in July, a 350% jump from previous month. So, where are the markets headed? Have investors become complacent about risk now? To discuss that, I'm joined by V. Srivatsa, Fund Manager Equity at UTI AMC. Hi, Mr. Srivatsa. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Hi, man.
Stock markets have been hitting record highs multiple times, actually, in the month of August. What do you think? Do you think that this makes stock markets risky now, and there could be a sharp correction somewhere close by?
Thanks a lot for this podcast. So just to, you know, answer it in a very brief way. So obviously, I think investors do tend to get jittery because whenever they have seen the stock market hitting a fresh high, if you go back to a 15-year, 20-year history, the fall has been pretty steep after that. Now, if I were to just go back to the previous 2-3 highs which comes into my memory, which is the 2000 high and probably the 2007 high, I think a big differentiator then was that it was a very narrow kind of a rally, which was, you know, in 2000s led by tech and 2007 again led by the entire infrastructure space. And obviously, the valuations for those narrow sectors were all over the place, and there was a huge kind of momentum and swinging, and then when it all fell apart, I think the entire markets corrected big time. So it took almost 3-4 years for the markets to recover from the 2000 levels, and the same, we know, it also took a good 2-3 years to recover from the 2008 highs as well. Now, what is different this time? You know, I think first is this rally is far more broad-based. I mean, though in the last maybe 2-3 years, certain consumer sectors have kind of, seen higher appreciation. But broadly, I would say this rally has been fair to most of the sectors. Whichever has been able to show the growth and the ROCE has been fairly rewarded. The second, I think, difference between this rally and probably the earlier top was the fact that both in 2001 as well as in 2007-8, you know, at least both the global as well as in Indian economy saw a lot of weakness. And, you know, especially in 2007, we all know what happened post the GFC. There was a fair amount of turmoil for more than, you know, 18 to 24 months, after which the markets and the economy recovered. Today, we are actually in a very contrasting situation where we have already borne out the pain in the last probably 12 to 15 months. One could also argue that this is there in the price. I'll come to that valuation part later. But I think we are in a point where probably our growth is looking much, much better than what it was in the last 5-6 years. And there has also been a lot of good work done by the government in terms of a lot of reforms which has come in the last 5-6 years. Some of it, you know, we have clearly not seen the full fruits of it, whether it is the GST or whether it is the land reforms, whether it's the labor reforms, and, you know, all these PLI schemes. Because of the various issues, starting with ILFS controversies, as well as this COVID-19, which, of course, had a much, much more profound impact than any of the earlier controversies. But I guess we have clearly not seen the full impact of that. So I'm quite positive in the next 3 to 5 years in terms of our growth rebounding in a very big way. Now, coming to the valuation. Yes, I think if I look at the valuation in terms of trailing 12 months, we are at 24, 25 times. We are roughly at around 3.5 times price to book, which is definitely higher than the longer term history. But however, I think we need to keep two factors into account. I think one is the fact that, as I said, today we are coming out of a very worse time, and the future outlook 1-2 year down the line could be vastly different from what it was a couple of years back or even in the last 12 months. And as all of us know, I think markets typically pay for the future outlook, not for the past. The second one is that I think the index composition has changed meaningfully in the last 10 years. I think the share of commodities have come down, the share of consumers, pharmaceuticals and retail banks, for example, has come up in a meaningful way. And hopefully, you know, since we have the new age companies such as Zomato, hopefully probably 5 years down the line, index could look very different from what it was. But the basis point I'm making is the fact that a headline higher PE or price to book may not indicate the fact that the markets are very expensive relative to the history, because the composition of the index has changed. So yes, the valuations are high per se. I mean, even if you adjust for the differences in the index, but I don't see any reason to be worried about for a crash. We may have a time correction of 3 to 6 months. That's fine. But I don't foresee a situation where we would be looking at a 20-30% fall like what we saw maybe 18 months back. That was entirely led by an unprecedented event, or even probably in 2007 or 2013, where the factors were different. So I believe that we may have a time correction, or market may move sideways for maybe 2-3 quarters before giving up the next move. But I don't foresee a return to the situation where, you know, we are seeing a 20-30% fall, we are seeing nervousness all around. That, of course, nobody can say never, but the probability is quite remote at this point of time.
Well, that's quite bullish take on the stock markets now. But at the same time, it's not that there are no risks involved. There's a geopolitical tension brewing at one side of the world. Plus, we have the high commodity prices, which we saw that it had an impact on earnings. At this juncture, do you think that to some extent, institutional investors as well as the retail participants have become complacent about the market risk now?
I would say yes. I think the biggest indicator is the kind of IPOs that's coming and the subscription and, you know, the kind of speculation we are seeing in some of the IPO stocks. Apart from that, I think also in a lot of small cap sectors, we are seeing a fair amount of speculation, you know, where there is not big meaningful institutional ownership either of those sectors or stocks. So I will not rule out the fact that there is some amount of speculation going in certain pockets of the markets. But see, I think the risk, if you ask me, what is probably not factored in, or I won't say factored in, but what can surprise the market is, to me, the biggest factor is the liquidity. So I will not deny the fact that the last 12 months of rally has happened because of global liquidity flowing in. If that liquidity tap were to stop completely, I think that would have a kind of a knee-jerk reaction. The same would also go on the domestic part, where we have seen massive liquidity coming in from the retail part. And typically, they kind of tend to react given their experiences. So, you know, they tend to probably put in more money when they are making profits. And the moment they start seeing losses, they may also cut down and, you know, lower their activity.
Right.
But overall, I don't see a fact that investors are taking it too lightly, though in certain pockets of the market, that would be the case.
Probably economists are penciling in rate tinkering by the end of the calendar year or maybe by end of the fiscal year. Do you think that may have an impact on the liquidity that's there in abundance in the stock markets now? Last month also, we saw the record flow of money coming into equity schemes. And we're looking at the DIIs also have been consistently buying the equities. Now, if RBI has to make a bit of tinkering, like following other global central banks, would there be an impact on the equity side?
There would be a limited impact. I mean, I will not deny the fact, but I think today the RBI or everybody is focused on the growth. And I strongly believe that if growth comes, that itself will take care of inflation. So if you even look at the period from 2003 to 7, we actually had a reasonably, you know, high level of inflation. You know, all the metal prices zoomed, the oil prices went from $20 to all the way to $100. But still, that did not impact us in a meaningful way because we had growth coming in. So the answer to all this question is that the moment we get that growth motion coming back, my guess is that inflation itself, you know, will kind of the impact of inflation will get addressed. In terms of RBI, my guess is that they would look for more data points before coming to it. I mean, because we still haven't seen growth coming back in a meaningful way because of the crisis or because of the COVID situation. So the sum and short of it is that I don't see RBI increasing in a meaningful way. They'll probably look for more data points. And I still expect probably the liquidity may come down depending on how the markets react. But I don't see a very meaningful drop in the liquidity.
Right. If I have to ask you about the inflows that we saw in the month of July, the SIP number was, of course, very encouraging. It was above 9,000 crore. And also the inflows into equity schemes were at record high. That's a very pretty high number. Do you expect this kind of inflow to be consistent into mutual funds going forward?
Yeah, I think if I really look at the data in the last 3 to 4 years, I think the average individual mutual fund investor is now quite mature. You know, unlike what happened 10 years back or 15 years back, when the mutual fund investor used to stop investing when the markets went down or probably even withdrew the money. Here we are actually seeing the reverse, that probably he's putting in more money. And also in our personal investments, you know, an average retail investor is also guided to a large extent by what has been the experience in that particular asset class. So if the last 5 years I've been doing an SIP and my return is, say, double digit, which is, you know, far, far higher than what I would get in any safe instrument in the market today, I would be kind of incentivized to continue with it or maybe even increase my allocation, given the fact that, you know, my income levels would have gone up. So this is something very structural that I'm seeing, and I see that continuing. And what has been positive, if I look at the data points in the last 12 to 18 months, is that when the markets are down, investors have actually supported the market by putting in more flows. So that is, I would say, a far more positive, which really, you know, shows the maturity of the Indian mutual fund investor.
Okay. So shifting focus to the stock markets once again. Now going ahead, you know, what do you think would be the big triggers? Because June quarter earnings is already over, and numbers, market and management commentaries were also very short confidence that the business growth is going to continue for most of the sectors. Now, what do you think would be the big triggers for stock markets going ahead? And what could be the big challenges according to you? I understand probably a third wave could be a deterrent to all the economic prospects that probably economists are penciling in. But besides the third wave, what do you think are the challenges and the triggers for stock markets going ahead?
See, I would say it's, I think there is a fair amount of optimism built on the reopening of the economy, which is happening in phases. So there is a fair degree of expectation that we will be back to normal by the second half of this current year, notwithstanding the fact that there are fears of a third wave. So one does not know what will be the reality 1 quarter or 2 quarters down the line. But in terms of market expectations, I think all of us are building in for any consumer company or any retail company or a hotel that we will be back to pre-COVID levels either in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter. Any of this hypothesis going wrong, either in terms of a very bad third wave, which would be a repeat of a second wave, say, I think that can kind of, I won't say derail the market, but keep the markets subdued, because then you would have lost another year of earnings. And I think the second is the kind of progress on the various reforms or the infra spends, which has been announced in the last, maybe 2-3 quarters. And this will be the execution time. I think any kind of positive progress on that would actually further enthuse the market. And lastly, I think the markets are a slave to the earnings. So I think the moment we see a normalized quarter, maybe in the third quarter or fourth quarter, and we kind of see stability in the earnings outlook for, say, 23 and beyond, I think that should calm down the markets. I mean, that should stabilize the markets, and one should be seeing stable returns in the markets from there on. So these are the big triggers that I see.
Right. So one last question. What are the top sectors, according to you, that is likely to drive the next big rally in stock markets going ahead?
See, as I said, I'm quite optimistic on the domestic growth rebounding in a very big way, in the medium term. So to that extent, I have reoriented my portfolio for sectors which will benefit from this. So it's either corporate-oriented banks, automobiles, as well as industrial goods and infrastructure, which is a very big active weight for me, because I do believe that the private sector capex will kind of revive, and the government is also doing its more than its fair share of bit in reviving the infrastructure capex. And also from a valuation angle, I'm kind of liking IT sector and pharmaceutical sector, because I do believe that the earnings outlook is quite strong and the valuations are also quite reasonable and have some scope of getting re-rated. But in terms of a larger, broader section of my portfolio is geared towards the domestic growth, which I talked about, and the sectors which will benefit from that.
Right. So you feel that IT and pharma sector probably maybe is going, could be re-rated?
I would say in IT, a fair amount of re-rating has happened. So this will largely be earnings growth now. In pharmaceutical, I think the last quarter, the sector has taken a backseat. I think the sector will rebound, and here there is some scope of the valuation to get re-rated.
Okay. On that note, Mr. Srivatsa, thanks a lot for speaking to us and giving us your time. We wish you good health. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.